Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. No need to introduce my my partner here today. We have been together for a very long time, yeah, trying to bring you the truth. He is a brilliant scientist and one of my favorite people ever. Thank you for joining me, Michael.
Well, thank you. I apologize to everybody for no tie. It's been a really busy week for me. You know, I had the shirt and tie going on, but today just been so busy. And this was kind of a short notice one. Yeah. So you had asked me in the last one, hey, let's talk about the CRISPR technology. What's going on with it? So, yeah, as usual, I start doing it. I'm like, okay, we got to talk. And ironically, there was a new approval that came out this week. So by the FDA on some gene editing foods. So I thought it'd be a really good time to kind of slide one in here. So thanks for having me.
And I thank you. And I want to remind the audience, Michael and I have talked about this now for almost 3 years, but CRISPR technology, just for people to understand on the other side, I've delved very deeply. Most of them were erased on YouTube, but we tried to catch up. Jeffrey Epstein was funding a lot of the CRISPR technology through MIT and Harvard and in China. And it's all connected to also the Human Genome Project and other things and eugenics and all kinds of stuff. But I believe that this will also be coming out, the science connections. So if people understand, because Michael, I saw that article that you're talking about that we'll talk about. I've seen CRISPR technology dripped into news. That's why I brought it up to you last week, multiple times. And I think that they're trying to normalize it so that when people see it, they skim over it. They don't really dig into it. So I really appreciate it. And I'm just going to hand it over to you. You got
there. All right.
And I want people to understand some of the worst people in the world back this stuff. And again, always remember, Michael says, a lot of this technology can be used for tremendous good.
Absolutely.
But a lot of it used by the wrong people, especially transhumanists and eugenicists, can be used for tremendous evil. So take it away.
All right, let me do this really quickly to make sure we're showing everything we're supposed to. Okay. Give me a second. Sure. I didn't close my screens today. So I got all my work stuff up and I got all my different research and I have a project I've been working on that I can't share yet. I'm really excited when I can.
Cool.
So let's get...
Well, we know about you. You remind me, I sometimes say like, you're like my guy from a... what's it called? Back to the Future. You're like in your garage.
I'm the crazy stuff. Dude. Yeah, I'm that crazy guy next
door. I love it. I love it.
All right. So guys, big day today. First of all, I changed the Punisher. We're going to go with just patriotic for the next 2 months. That's what we're going to do. Here's my contact information. I've been getting a lot of really good stuff. Been getting a lot about specific types of technology as well, which is, it's kind of interesting. We're still not where we need to be. That's kind of how I'm going to approach this with everybody. Just kind of keep in mind that we're not at the technology yet where we need to be, but let's talk about where we're at and what can we use, what can't we use, right? CRISPR's technology is kind of complicated. So I still like this. We're going to make America great again, one patriot at a time.
You and I are on the same page. Great.
This is my favorite page now. So, all right. So let's kind of get going today. I know we're... Right. So let's talk about CRISPR, messenger RNA, and RNA interference. So these are the three kind of hot topics in this particular area. And so I really had a hard time with how can I take something that's so complex?
Right.
And even as a scientist, if you're not doing genetics all the time, how can I make this really simple? And so I thought the best way to do that is to use pictures.
Yeah.
To start this. So we're going to skip this page. We're going to go to this one first. So essentially, if you see this picture, this is CRISPR technology at its very basic core. If you kind of water this thing down, you're editing and you're taking out sections of genes and you're modifying them permanently. Okay, that's one. So when we look at CRISPR technology versus messenger RNA technology, which is the delivery system to and we're going to talk about it in a little bit more detail. And then we've got this RNA interference technology. And that's kind of where you can also get into different types of gene doping and different things that they do for testing. You can actually enhance, some people say, well, super soldiers. Well, you can do enhancements that are short term. Okay. So, you know, there's a lot here, but I before we continue, what I want to also say here is this is just one other form of manipulation of energy or information matter. We talk about consciousness. I talk about that a lot. And really, that's where science is going to be going in the more distant future. This is where we're at now with what we know. So this is actually editing. And this is coming up into the news as of recently. And we're going to see quite a bit of it more coming through. So right. I'm looking at the screen. And I'm talking to you too, Mel. So you know how I work here. So what this is now, and this is what we're going to see, and I'm going to show you a couple of things. So the FDA just formally approved CRISPR technology or gene editing or editing of hogs. It's the first wave. Now, a lot of questions come in as to what does that mean for us, right? We got this complicated science. We perfected this science to the point where we can do some amazing things, or we can do some amazingly bad things, as we've talked about many times. What is the impact to us? So this approval process of this CRISPR gene, and we're going to go to the specific article here in a minute. I don't know if you shared it with everybody. I think I put it out on mine. So people that follow me directly, they probably saw the article. And I said, this is really bad without any explanation.
Yeah, I can put a link too.
So what this means is that they're now going to do gene editing directly on foods that we're directly consuming. And what is the other impact of this? And what isn't seen here is how easy it will be for others now to push this through. Because to get a product pushed through the FDA under normal circumstances as first time in an honest arena, and again, most of the people in there are honest people, it's extremely difficult to get a product through. Because you have to prove that it's safe, it's effective, you know, it's not going to have short and long-term effects. Well, what the hell? You don't know what the long-term effects on something like this. But this opens the door for others to piggyback on and get through an expedited approval process. That's what this does for us as a society. So I just want to kind of mention that really quickly before we kind of go on to the different ones. And then we're going to talk about what's going to happen moving forward. So CRISPR technology is splicing, changing, and it's a permanent effect. Okay?
Okay.
Questions? Are we good?
We're good. I know this far.
All right. No, I mean, this is...
No, it's crazy stuff. This is very advanced science.
It's extremely advanced.
Understand that it's not science fiction. This is being done, and it's being done a lot, certainly in China, but I assume if it's being done in China, it's being done here in Russia and India.
Mel, this is being done in garages in our country. Seriously. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing about this is it's tremendous potential, but people are not thinking about what the long-term impacts of these things are. You know, AI is another area that, you know, we're all just kind of blindly going through like a five-year-old with a shotgun, right? And we're not thinking long-term what this truly means. So let's keep going. And let's kind of talk about what the differences are so we can understand. And by the way, this took me, after you said this to me, you said, Mike, can we do one of these? I thought about it a little bit. And since our last show last week, I've been figuring out how to present this because I kept reading these articles. I kept going through things. And there are a lot of intentional disinformation coming out on this kind of stuff. And so weeding through this and then how I was going to explain this, it took me a lot of time just to figure that out. So when I gave you the green light that we're going to do it, it was after I'm like, oh, okay, I think I know how to do this. So a picture's worth a thousand words. So when you're looking at CRISPR, think that you're splicing the actual material itself. Okay. Yeah. So now we get into messenger RNA. So I pulled a picture out on this, but I want to go into a little bit more detail and explain this one in particular, because this one's a little bit different. So messenger RNA would be like me delivering you a recipe to make something.
Okay.
Okay. And in that envelope is I like chocolate cake. I don't eat it anymore, but I like chocolate cake. So I'm going to say, Mel, I'm going to come over to your house. Can you bake me a chocolate cake? So I'm going to send you an envelope. And in the envelope's a recipe on what I want you to cook.
Right.
Okay. And in there is exactly what needs to be done. And so when you look at messenger RNA, really what it is it's a template to build something. Now, how it's delivered is through specific type of nanoparticles where they put this information in, they inject it into the body, and that's when good or bad happens or all hell can break loose. Now, from there, you can build CRISPR technology from that. Okay, you can edit it. So they're different. And so you can't consider them the same. Or messenger RNA will deliver what its message is, and then it ultimately will disintegrate and it's done. Right? So when you're looking at messenger RNA, that's one of the predominant differences. However, this technology is really advanced, and a lot of really good things are coming out of messenger RNA technology and its delivery system. There's some amazing stuff that people have been working on. And so in terms of like a lot of work that I do or a lot of work that I've seen, I see a lot of this.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's impressive. And the people that are working on the people that are working on the at the cellular level are amazing people. They're really smart. And they explain it to me and it's kind of like, put it down in peanut butter and jellies for me. But then we got this other game in town called RNA interference. And now what RNA interference does is it actually reduces the ability, and I kind of put this down here to kind of help get there. So RNA interference refers to an expression of a gene is reduced, but not completely silenced. Okay. Slicing, you're killing it. Right? Messenger RNA, you're coming in, you're delivering what you want to be told. What this is doing is it really kind of pushing down messenger RNA, either keeping it from being inactivated or not the one that you don't want. So that's what RNAi is. And so sometimes people will see this in here, and it's suppression of the messenger RNA transcript ability to develop or deliver the message. So if I sent the mailman over to give male person over to give you the recipe, right?
Right.
But somebody ties up the mailman, then you're not going to get my cake and I don't get to eat the cake recipe and I don't get to eat chocolate cake when I come over to your house, which would be really sad. But so that's kind of the difference between these three. So what is being done now is, this talks about the differences between those. I want to skip that because this is really what's important here. What does this mean for us? So we got CRISPR technology, we got this gene editing ability, and now the FDA has approved this stuff. Okay. So now they've approved the first group of pigs that they're doing CRISPR technology to for human consumption. Now, one comment I want to make about this is, okay, I'm going to talk about the other products, and that's what this is for, because okay, they've been modifying our products, our consumption in terms of grains and other things for decades, right? We've done multiple shows on that where they've been monitoring this. But so what I wanted to do is I wanted to step back and say, okay, what's the impact of this? What have they been doing to us? How has that been going? Because nobody's really been tracking this, because the way that this government is designed, this stuff's falling through the cracks. It's not being overlooked. The FDA looks at it from one perspective, agriculture looks at it from the other perspective, and you got these three government bodies, but nobody's really looking at this stuff.
Right.
The FDA say, hey, when you get it to my doorstep, just show me that it's safe. They're saying, yeah, it's safe. Don't worry about it. Is anybody really looking? They're not, right? So let me go back to the article really quick. Where is that article? USDA, we're going to talk about them. Oh, I want to talk about Penn State, your favorite.
I think that was the University of Pennsylvania.
It will be. Don't worry. All right. So where's that article, Mel? Here. The FDA has just approved first human consumption of a handful of hogs at Washington State University. the FDA has been authorized to test these things now, and they're going to make German style sausage.
Oh, God. So wait, let me ask you something real quick, just to clarify. They're doing this in the embryo phase, correct? Or they're doing, when are they doing this modifying? At what stage of the pig's life?
So the CRISPR technology, what they would do, and that's a great question. So what they would do is they'd come in and they'd edit, let's say, the male.
Oh, okay.
So they modified that gene. That.
Okay.
And then the offspring then now are the byproduct of that CRISPR technology. It's not like they're going into each one or they're doing the eggs. All they have to do is go after the dad, edit to those that technology as it's delivered, and everything from that point now will be edited.
Okay. My confusion, I guess, is that, this is why I asked you to explain it, is what I had read and stuff was that part of the CRISPR technology, that how they want to use it is to go in and modify babies in utero.
They can do that too.
Okay.
It's all the same. No, you're right.
I didn't know what phase the hog was in when they were doing this. Was it before the even conception is when they were doing this? They were changing the male so that the sperm was modified.
Once you permanently edited something like this,
okay. You
can't go back.
Right.
So, okay. And either way, see, in your case and what you're saying is true too. And this is where this gets confusing. But the most important thing is once you splice and once you put back together,
yeah. It's
done.
Okay.
And yeah. So, again, I want to go back to something that we briefly talked about in our last session that you and I were talking was every single time you edit, you're getting a ghost image of the previous version. So as this continues on, and let's say you continue to splice, or I don't like this, I don't like this, I want the meat to be red, I want the meat to be purple, and we start to do this, what is the long-term effects on human consumption? That is something that, even, by the way, I didn't put in the article, but you can look this up, guys. But what's really interesting is that one of the doctors that was actually interviewed in this actually said, hey, we need to also be considering what long-term effects are of what we're doing here. Right. And yeah. So again, this is an example where you have, this isn't nefarious what they're initially intending to do, but you still have to step back from an ethical as well as a scientific perspective and say, okay, if we are doing this, what is that impact, right? And so you're absolutely correct. Once you can, this CRISPR technology is so advanced, it can be done at almost any point.
Right, that's like, what I'm trying to get at. Like,
you're 100% correct.
Okay, and it's right. On that minuscule of a level, like it can be.
No, this is way, way more advanced than you know. Even I'm really watering this down.
No,
what is being done is so far advanced, and this is based on our current science. Again, I always do that, right? Hey, they're really far ahead. Everybody's right. Really far ahead. This is what we're seeing now. But the most important thing here is this has been approved. This is the green light. This has already been given the green light, and now. Anybody that wants to do this again moving forward simply piggybacks on this and does a validation, cross-validation to show right. That, hey, we're just as safe and effective as this guy. Right. We can go fast track through the process. That's the thing that people have to kind of step back and go, wait a minute, before we do that, let's look at this. And also, by the way, they're saying to be approved for first human consumption. We know that's not true either.
Right.
So, you know, let's all be realistic. So, all right. So I started saying, okay, well, wait a minute. If we look at what does this mean, what does that mean? And how are we looking at it? And what's the impact? So I said, what do we know right now? And you and I have done a couple sessions on either foods or chemical additives, right? This has been one of my new kicks. And I've lost so much weight because I've been researching this stuff. I stopped eating like 90% of the food I was eating.
Right. Well, once you started researching, you were like, you won't believe this.
That's exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
And don't laugh, but actually now I talked my wife into, I love cinnamon raisin bread. She hand makes me cinnamon raisin bread.
Oh, wow. She's
good. I mean, it's amazing, but the taste is so much different.
Really?
Because I'm looking at, because I was eating it one day and I'm like, Jesus, there's half of this stuff. Is it even, it's not even real. And if you guys start looking at the foods that we eat, most of what we're eating is just full of junk. And so here's what I did. So I said, okay, Mel's going to ask me, what's the long-term impact on this thing? Right. And I'm going to get those questions, but also I wanted to look into, so this, I pulled a couple pieces from the FDA website.
Okay.
So the stuff that you're going to see in the next couple slides is stuff that comes directly from the FDA. But keep in mind, you must keep this in perspective because this is kind of skewed a little bit in terms of, hey, this is what you got and this is the good part, instead of really doing a true evaluation of this data. So we have GMOs. They're saying, yeah, no big deal. We got most of the foods that you eat, it's all GMO'd at this point. And that is true. So I said, well, how many and how many products do we have? And so down here, I know it's harder to see, guys, but they have a list of bioengineered foods available from the Department of Agriculture. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why are you referencing the Department of Agriculture on the FDA website when you're supposed to be protecting what we eat? They're only protecting what we grow, right? So they're saying, oh, listen, don't worry about it. If you really
that's a very, very important point to think about right there when we know about all the, you know, these different things. Agencies are supposed to be checks and balances on each other, not working in tandem.
They actually put that on their website that they have a checks and balances and they all communicate. Huh. But they actually also, at the same state, say, that's out of my realm, right? it's on here. I think it's in two slides that you're going to see that. Okay. It's actually kind of funny you mentioned that. And guys, we don't rehearse this. So I clicked on this and I thought it was really interesting. So I want to actually pull that up. And then, so they also have what they call this National Bioengineered Food Disclosure Standard. It's a really big word. So I'm like, what does that mean? So I clicked on it, I looked into it, and basically saying, hey, we can't do any bioengineering. If you do, you have to divulge it. Well, we know they don't.
Right, they don't.
They say, we're going to in the future, but we don't do it right now. So, but what I also want to stress is the fact that we just approved that we're going to do gene editing of the food that we're eating, of the meat and poultry will be next, right? So we did that.
They're not already doing that. Yeah.
And they're already doing it in the grains that we're eating and everything else that we're eating. So that was just the next step. And we've already seen they want to do synthetic meat. They've been doing prototypes on this stuff. So this stuff's already out there. But what we do need to do is step back and look at this stuff. So let's you want more?
Yes, please.
So I pulled this report up. I'm like, I have to know. So only a few types of crops are grown in the United States, but they're not. Yeah, only a few, but the stuff that we're bringing in, all of it is. That's the amazing thing here, right? And so in 2020, so this is kind of funny the way that they skew this. So in 2020, the soybeans make up 94%. So basically, 94% of the grains regarding soybeans are all genetically modified, right? Cotton, okay, I'm just putting it on. I'm okay with that. I'm good with that, right? But 90% of the corn. But the caveat there is only a few types are here in the United States, but we're importing most of the stuff at this point, right? So in 2013, canola oil, sugars was coming up to between 95 and 100%. 99.999 actually was what the real number is. They rounded up. So go ahead. You want to say something? I know you're dying. No.
Well, how are they justifying this? Are they saying that our soil or how we've grown things since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve time, something's changed dramatically that they have to do this? Are they putting stuff in this through the GMO process that doesn't really need to happen, but it benefits big pharma or big agriculture or Bill Gates or whatever? What are they justifying this for? Is it because our soil and stuff is so polluted? What is their justification?
That's a great question. Let's leave soil out of this for now, because that's a whole other argument. But let's talk about your specific question. That's a great question. And when you go to the FDA website, they'll use papaya as a perfect example. Hawaiian papaya almost died because of a virus that hit and almost wiped out all of existence. So we needed to modify. Right. So there are cases where they say it's drought resistant. They're saying that, you know, it's specific type of insect resistance. But my argument to that from a scientific perspective would be, but you don't know, first of all, what the long-term effects are on that. And I understand that science, when you're genetically modifying something, you're trying to improve the ability for it to do that, right? I get that part of it. You want to always improve something and make things safe. But this is like a get out of jail free that you really don't know what's truly being edited here. Is right. My point.
It's what
my point is, they're saying we're going to do that, but you really don't know the big picture of this unless it's scrutinized extremely well, right? And rigorously. You asked me last week, you said, oh, wait a minute. Well, we have all of this stuff. What do we do about it? And my answer to you is don't do it.
Right.
If you're going to be modifying all of this stuff and you want to do that, mm-hmm. and there's a consensus as a society that we are going to do it, then it needs to have stringent oversight.
But is there any reason that we can't just continue to grow soybeans, corn, sugar, cotton, canola, all of that stuff as we have been for hundreds of years? Is there true justification? Or are we talking about Agenda 2030, you know, top-down control of everything, including everything we consume? That's probably a bigger question. That's more of a who knows. I just want to put it out there, like, because
no, that's a great question.
Agenda 2030 control mechanism is that they control everything, especially the food. But on top of that, you know, there is also a depopulation agenda and all that, and a vaccinating agenda and on and on. I'm just wondering, you know, part of people have to understand build back better really means the Great Reset, really means destroy what is, and honestly, what's worked for centuries to put in all this new stuff that is controlled by a small group of elite billionaire oligarchs that are globalists. So to me, I'm just wondering, because I tell people that if they have the land, they should be growing their own food as much as possible for what they do use regularly, like tomatoes or, you know, whatever. But that's my bigger question is this necessary, or is this about money and power and consolidation of control?
I think sometimes when this is generated, again, in its purest sense, a scientist was trying to improve something.
Right.
You know, the challenge that I have is you don't know if you're not tracking what those implications are. Right. And so the other thing is, and I always keep bringing back, you know, I do this a lot, and your producer, he cringes when he asks me what we're going to do. Right. You know, Rob's back there going, what are you going to talk about?
He loves it. He loves it.
He's I'm kidding him.
He's not a science guy. So he always thinks like he has to watch your shows twice to really.
So, but if you notice how I always bring back this old technology.
Yeah.
Back into the loop.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. It's like.
That's the point. Right. Because they were doing this successfully without these. When you look at these, I always say these like pyramidal structures and these different things grow better and healthier around these things. As a matter of fact, I've got some in my backyard where I'm showing a 50% better growth rate that are around these different geometric structures. Right,
I know.
And I built them, and my neighbors think I'm crazy, right? Like, what the hell is he doing, right? I don't know. You know, I don't have any idols.
Back there. They just think he's just a cute guy that's curious. He's a little pretty.
Yeah. What is this guy? But my point is that this is being done and it's unregulated, because the comment here is, well, most of this stuff isn't coming here in the United States, but we're importing it. Right. So the Department of Agriculture has no impact or oversight on something that's coming out of Brazil.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So I said, okay, well, how far does this go? Here you go. Government regulation and your safety is you get to hear from the experts at the FDA, the EPA, and the USDA all discuss how federal agencies work together to ensure that GMOs are safe for human, plant, and animal behavior. Thank you. There you have it. Everybody's doing it for you, Mel. This is, by the way, this comes from the FDA website.
I don't want to give up on the USDA, but I have formally given up on the other two. So I don't feel any comfort in this statement here.
I say this jokingly, but again, during a restructure, I think what you're going to see is these three organizations with proper oversight need to stay. And I know a lot of times, you know, people.
Oh, I get that. I just, first of all, they don't have to be behemoths. They should exactly. be the best and the brightest we have in the field, the best scientists. You know, this whole diversity, equity, and inclusion belongs nowhere in our agencies. We should be recruiting, regardless of any of that crap, the best, most advanced people who really understand, then we're on the right track. But I understand, and I know you feel that way. So I agree, there needs to be oversight of everything. But again, the powers that be and the people that are running these agencies right now, if you go look them up, you're going to be like, well, why would somebody who's never been in farming be running the USDA? Or you know, or why would somebody who's never been a scientist, that has no degrees, hasn't done any clinical work or anything, be running the FDA? You know, they just it's who they're choosing. And now with diversity, equity, inclusion, they're choosing people blatantly not the best people.
To say the least. I'm looking at some of these people, I'm like, good God in heaven. No, but
I just talked to an FAA guy that's telling me like who they're putting up to replace Buttigieg, like ran the non-flight side of Denver Airport. You know, so it's just like never had anything to do, never pilot, never had anything to do with aviation, the actual aviation that should be their job, which is protecting us. So again, I agree with you, and I know you say that a lot. And you know a lot of people at the FDA that are great people, and I'm sure there are EPA people and all that. The problem is that they're not being used as intended. A lot of them are being used as regulations to consolidate so that the multinational corporations control it all. And then the financial behemoths, the banking cartel profit, and it really has very little to do with what that we're told. It's just my
opinion. You're correct. Where I was going with this is...
Go ahead. I just every time...
No. I love it when you do that.
I think like...
When you look at these three groups, what happens is you lose oversight between these groups. And what I mean by that is the FDA would look at what its impact was to humans, right? The EPA saying, how does it affect our environment? Anything outside of that, we're good. Agriculturally, they're like, hey, are they following the rules? The gene editing, I'm going to leave to the FDA, but you know, as long as you're following my rules, we're good to go. So this stuff falls through the cracks,
yeah,
right? So the problem with having these types of cracks is people navigate through and around them. Emergency use authorization is the most current nightmare. This isn't the first, right? So
let me ask you one more thing before you go on. Are these agencies, do they contract outside of the government, even though they have hundreds of people working for them for some reason? Do they contract out, or is it all employees of these agencies?
Or you they can. For
then
example,
that's where you start following the money and you find out who's funding those contractors. But go ahead.
In a pure environment, and I've seen the FDA, where they'll bring in an expert in a particular
I get that.
Area or science.
I mean, are they contracting it out to one of the stakeholders of the World Economic Forum corporations? You know,
they very likely could on the EPA and the USDA for sure.
Okay.
The FDA, because they're making the decisions and your leadership is tainted,
right?
They don't need to, right?
Yeah.
If you're green lighting it, you don't need to.
Right.
And they just came out with, and I was going to say this earlier. I sent you an article this morning. It's the FDA just sent out a notification that they're officially ending emergency use authorization. Great, right? After 3 years, they finally figured it out. But in the message, they said, anybody that's working on anything that they want approval that fell under emergency use only, you've got to get it through because we're going to close the gates coming up soon. So they let everybody know that the gates are shutting, but they got to get moving on it. So if you got something in it, get all your paperwork in through the doors before they shut. Right?
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. That so you'll see that article. I'll put it up. I'll actually put it up for fun.
That's why you're great, is because you find that little nugget in there that gives them plausible deniability or the ability to be like, hurry up.
Hurry up, get it in. Hurry up. And so what I wanted to do is I said, okay, maybe the modification of the GMO, even though it's pretty nefarious, or it could be, how does that impact it? Where's their oversight? Who's looking at what? But by the way, keep in mind that genetically modifying it falls under the same scientific principles. So the same rules are applying, whether it is a piece of wheat or it's a pork.
Okay.
Technology is still the same because the core science is the same. That's irrelevant.
Okay.
Right. So I wanted to kind of look into, okay, so we got these things, we got all these modifications. And I also was kind of back on my kick with, I've been looking at some products that we've been consuming that we're allowing it. So my argument here is, or my discussion here is, if we're letting stuff in we know makes us sick, how would it be any different with this stuff? That's kind of where I was going to go with this today. So after you got me going on my thing. So I got a bunch of more slides. So I wanted to look at what does the USDA do? What do they do? And so the USDA has a list of bioengineering foods to help identify crops and foods that are available in the bioengineering. So basically they're saying, hey, we're going to let you know what the list is. But again, we're going to let you know what the list is of what it is, but you don't know which one they're in, because anything that's manufactured in terms of food, it's going to be in your food. Right. If you looked at the grain products and everything in that list that I was going to show you, it's in anything that's being produced. And then the list includes bioengineering crops or foods that are to capture any BE crops or foods that are currently in legal production somewhere in the world.
Okay.
So I had to look into that. I'm not done, so I don't want to talk about that today.
Uh-huh.
Thought that was kind of interesting. So let's keep going.
Yeah, I'd like to know where. Go ahead.
So according to the USDA and the FDA, the GMOs, don't worry about it. It's been in our food for over 20 years. Made by scientists who have genetically introduced new traits or characteristics to an organism, allow it to grow faster, look better, taste sweeter, resist herbicides. Any of those. While the FDA regulates food and ingredients made from genetically engineering plants and animals, which, by the way, we've talked about cloning and other technology that has been in our foods for decades, right?
I know that because I went to Epcot when I was 10 years old and they had all kinds of genetically modified giant tomatoes.
Yeah, and we did an entire session on that, if you recall, right?
No, but a lot of people out there probably went to Epcot at some point and saw and went through that exhibit when they were in the 80s.
Yeah. And so look, so the FDA looks at this stuff to help ensure that they are safe to eat. Some argue that the effects may have on the human body are not fully understood. This right. And this, by the way, is on their own website. So this is kind of interesting. So I says, well, what does that mean? And what about these chemicals and different things? So I took one product and did a research on it.
Okay.
Don't laugh. I looked at deodorant and absorption of deodorant material in the human body. And one of the main ingredients, the difference between a deodorant and an antiperspirant, by the way, is aluminum. So antiperspirant was put into, you know, you see deodorant and antiperspirant. What they do is they're putting aluminum in it to block the cells from sweating.
Ow. I don't know if most people.
Right. Kind of a simple thing, right? And I only use this as an example because I wanted to say, okay, well, one of the challenges that I have as I come through this stuff is navigating through what's true, what's not, what's propaganda, and psyops in your world applies in my world just as much, right? So I said, let's look at a simple product. Let's see what's out there.
And the aluminum gets absorbed into your body into your blood, right?
Yes. And and extremely small nanoparticles pass through the blood-brain barrier.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
So here was something interesting under Penn Medicine.
Right.
This is an article. When I looked at chemicals and antiperspirants, they have an article on their website, and it says, you probably heard the rumors. I love the way they word these things. As a matter of fact, I highlighted some of them. It's so fascinating. You probably heard the rumors that certain chemicals in deodorants and antiperspirants could lead to breast cancer, kidney disease, or allergies. But is this truth or speculation? This is how they lead their article in from your friends.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. And whoever gave them the grant to do the study.
Right. So I said, I'm intrigued. I'll click the button. Okay?
Yeah.
So I click the button. Here's the second part of the article after you click the button. Among the rumors.
American Cancer Society. So the Rockefeller.
Right. Look at the bottom. Well, wait. Don't get there yet.
Let's
relish in their wording. Among the rumors. That's how they're starting this. So already they're undermining the fact that this there's no truth, right? Among the rumors, one of the alarming claims is that there's a link between deodorant and breast cancer. Some people worry that certain chemicals and antiperspirants can be absorbed through the skin, especially after shaving. The theory, the theory is that toxin accumulates in the lymph nodes and changes healthy cells into cancer cells. God, why would we be thinking that? Because the American Cancer Society claims linking breast cancer to deodorants. They did an experiment and found and have scientific grounding. And the National Kidney Foundation says, nah, don't worry about it. It's all good. And we can prove it. Don't worry, Mel. It's scientific grounding.
Right.
They got it all right there. Well, we didn't look any further.
People don't know to put together the American Cancer Society and the Rockefellers and a lot of money and a lot of big pharma and all of that. But you know what's crazy? All those talcum powder things that they said were all not real either until people actually sued and we found that it was real. So it's like it was the same people that said it wasn't possible either. So I don't know.
As soon as you come out with a statement, you're going to get 10 experts. They're going to counter it. So that's why people, I get all these emails all the time, like, you know, what's true, what's not. So let me, I use this as an example because I've talked about aluminum before because they finished the article and then they come up with this long reason why it's all a bunch of BS. So I said, okay, let me do some scientific research on aluminum impact on the body. Simple, right? After you whittle through all this information, and I have a couple of really good articles here. So entry and deposits of aluminum as it's a directly impact on the brain. The article reference number is right here. Here's the one of the authors. Aluminum as a known neurotoxicant contributes to cognitive dysfunction and may contribute to Alzheimer's disease. And this goes on and on. Aluminum fluxes into the brain across the blood-brain barrier. So they're putting this stuff or they're allowing this stuff, whether or not they know it or not, they know aluminum is a toxin to the body. Right. They're spraying it in the chemtrails, right? And I'm not doing this crazy tinfoil hat there. This is basic articles.
Yeah, but it's different with Monsanto, with glyphosate. Now Monsanto Bayer. Everyone's better about it.
Any perspirant has aluminum. And the whole reason I started this is, I don't know why I did it. Is I was doing all this research on my food and I says, am I going to use this thing? And I looked at it and sure enough, I'm looking at it and the stuff is in it. So then there's others. Blood-brain barrier. I looked at the article on this, by the way, a supporting article to this one is this one. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this talks about the other things and how they contribute to a lot of the illnesses that we have. Now, this is just the chemical portion of this. This is not the genetic and the CRISPR technology, which we don't know the direct impact on that, but we also know that it does not. Therefore, we need to be looking at things a little bit closer as consumers. one of the things that I'm seeing and I'm really encouraged by is we're now making statements that we simply don't buy products because of based on, you know, stances or other things, right? And we're saying, we're not buying your products. But by doing that, we've seen companies crumble to the ground. And as we continue to communicate like we are here, as we continue to disseminate this information out, we're going to start having conversations and say, listen, before you start putting products on our market or on our shelves, and the expectation is we're just going to grab it and start eating it, we want to know what's in there. And we won't buy your product until you divulge that information. That's what we need to do. Right. That's the message.
Tom Renz is fighting for, has a case right now that he's helping people to have informed consent on food that is injected with anything or that has anything in it that could, just so that he believes that people should know before they buy something exactly what they're buying. But, you know, it's getting a lot of pushback, especially from the USDA, apparently.
You're going to have a hard time with that part. And what I mean by that,
I'm letting you know that, like, that is something that people are trying to do, and it's getting really major pushback. I think basically they said then we'd have to do that with everything.
Well, with the FDA, the FDA, and we talked about this, and I'll just kind of reiterate it. The FDA will not allow you to put on your label any claims that haven't been proven with science. Now, in an honest world, right? Right. What that means is you can't take something off the shelf and say, hey, this cures cancer, because the FDA can come after you. Right. You can indicate this isn't approved by the FDA under any circumstances. However, they indicate that these things may happen and it might cure cancer or give you a third leg.
Right.
And by manipulating that label and understanding what that label is, that's how they can do this. Now, by putting an informed consent in would be extremely difficult. The argument would be just what you said. They'd have to do it for everything. However, you can take a reverse approach, and you can say everything that's in your product must be on the label.
Period. Isn't that already a law or no?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, because what happens though is they have to put ingredients. Then the FDA said if you're putting sugars in there versus what the sugars are, you have to change your label. You have to do that. So they pushed in certain areas, but what they don't say is down the line, what is the wheat that's being used for this product? They're saying, oh, it's GMO. They'll say GMO, but you don't know what that is. You don't know what that means. So what happens is you can do anything to the wheat. Say, oh, it's GMO. Don't worry about it. You've been eating it for 10 years. And there's no way of knowing. So my point is either you don't do it at all, which isn't reasonable, right, to a point. However, there has to be a middle ground. Having everybody sign an informed consent would be almost impossible, but right. You can attack it from the other direction. Say, listen, before you can put anything on the shelf, you must have everything that you're coming from, including your food source, available to the consumer.
Yeah, I think Renz's thing is that they want to put vaccines, which they're already doing, as you and I have done on shows like a year and a half, into like lettuce they're already doing that, but they've been putting antibiotics into our food for a long time. What he's saying is if you're putting any drugs into, but it's the same thing, because a lot of this stuff is somewhere in the middle. They're chemicals and drugs and everything, like you did on that great show that you went through all these crazy things. I think there's a lot of people that watch that show, including me and you, that now we pick up and we look and we're like, oh, we're not going to buy that because there's an alternative without it.
Well, but again, you're going to get yourself into tough water. And what I mean by that is you can't define drug anymore. And what I mean by that is science is at a level now where it is so advanced that these aren't drugs anymore. These are delivery systems. These are nanotechnology. These are all of these other things. So I could say it's not a drug.
Right.
You can't even say sometimes it's not even a vaccine. And what I mean by that is,
right,
this is such advanced science. It's not a drug. We're good. Right.
Well, remember before, I believe it's not on their website anymore, but when you first started talking about, we started talking way before the vaccines even came out, but during COVID, but you had at one time, it did say on the Moderna website, it described the COVID-19 vaccine, not as a vaccine, as an operating system.
Yes.
I believe it was changed, but in the very beginning, when you started looking into it, that was what it was called.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, a delivery system is what they utilize on that. And what we have not added into this is some of the newer technology in these delivery systems. So, for example, when I was talking about the messenger RNA technology, so what you have is you have this mRNA technology, and then you envelope it in this highly advanced material.
Oh, yeah, I remember your burger.
Yes. And this technology is so advanced that it's, for example, it could be not defined as a metal. It could be not defined as a ceramic. It's something in between. And now they have this new, I call it a quasi-bio substance, where it's neither, right? But it has some type of harmonic sophistication where they can manipulate these things based on different frequencies, right? So when you're talking about, oh, you can't put the drugs in there, this is way beyond drugs, the stuff that I'm talking about. And so when we need to understand what it is that they're doing, and it needs correct oversight. And so that's kind of the big thing that I wanted to, when we were talking about the CRISPR technology, it's really advanced. And first people need to understand what it is and what the impact is. And so we need to all keep communicating like this. I have fun doing this, but I really do. But a big piece of this also is we have to understand that we can't use old terminology or old science to understand these things. Even medicine, it's for me to talk about some of this or this technology to, let's say, a doctor, a physician. I can take a physician off the street. He would think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Because according to the traditional science and the traditional books, none of this should exist. Zero point energy shouldn't exist, according to the books, right? According to how we've been taught, zero point energy cannot exist with our rules. But we know it does. We've already now proven it, and now they can't suppress that information. The science is the same thing. It's extremely complicated. It's much advanced. And what's not in here that we haven't talked about yet is how you can computer generate genotypes. Right? We haven't even gotten there yet. We haven't even started talking about that. We're still trying to catch up, but they actually in a lab can create this stuff and synthesize it. They don't need a human organism to do any of this stuff anymore.
Oh, God.
It's exciting. It's
so crazy to me that it just, first of all, we've seen movies doing this for decades. And also, it's so complex. And so it's just, like I always say, in hands of good people, it's just unfortunate that I believe that a lot of the people that control this technology are not good people, or they're not doing it for the benefit of health and humanity as much as for profit and their obsession with technology. So we don't know. I mean, we just saw Wozniak, what's his name? The guy, he stepped down from Google because he said that, AI is going too fast. He was like the godfather of AI. And we see, you know, people pushing back, Elon Musk, where a couple years ago, they were both with like all speed ahead, you know? And so maybe some of this stuff, just bringing it out and talking, and who knows who's watching and knows a piece of this puzzle, where it's like, are we going too fast for profit and convenience and all of that? Because like you're saying, we have no idea the long-term effects of a lot of this stuff. And you talk about the nanotechnology, nanoparticles, a lot of other people do. I follow you. So when you get there and you say it, then I know it's been fully researched and I can trust it. But, you know, there's a lot of people that think that nanotechnology, like you said, can be used with frequency and 5G and all this stuff. So I don't know how far this goes, but I like that we're doing little steps. So what's the next topic that connects here?
I think that what we would have to do next is we have to continue to understand what the science is behind what we're up against more than anything. There's some technologies out there that I've been following now for a while that I've been kind of waiting for that next generation to step up. So a couple of things that I learned this week that really surprised me is the different other types of government agencies that have been doing genetically modified technology and other types of drug delivery technology that completely surprised me. Groups in organizations that really surprised me that they were doing advanced research a decade ago. And then the other thing that really surprised me is the number of companies that are involved in these things. And you look at, and I have 2 minutes, so I got to make this quick because I'm getting called away here. But I want to finish this point because you're bringing up something that's very important. Is what also really alarmed me is everyday common companies that we just look at, in electronic companies that are using plasma technologies and everything. Most of these companies are involved with the government or government research at some level. It's mind-boggling. I was talking to a co-worker in a different science technology. He says, "Oh yeah, I was working with the Department of research on this, and this." And I'm like, "Why would you be doing advanced genetic technology? They have nothing to do with that kind of stuff." And then we started to talk about what they were doing, and it actually was really disturbing for me. And I see a lot of crazy stuff, right? And I see a lot of technology. It really kind of bothered me. Research is being done? What we have never talked about yet is gene doping, where you can genetically modify somebody for a short period of time and give them advanced technology or advanced physical characteristics that can dissipate over a period of time.
Wow.
It's a common thing that we don't know about. Common. When I say common, if they're testing and gene doping athletes, it's been around a long time. But when you have soldiers that have been working on this type of gene doping for 20 years,
right?
That's pretty amazing. And I'm talking about soldiers in areas that you do not expect them to be testing. Right, zero.
Right. Well, that's a lot of this stuff. Also, I'm just finding DARPA, the Department of Defense. But again, there's a company I've done shows on that the woman's running HARPA. This new department, most people don't even know, the bioengineering and bioethics. Anyway, it's a company called, they're a World Economic Forum partner, Ginkgo Biota, that I read a lot of stuff about that's doing a lot of this stuff, what you're talking about, I believe. And, it's like once it's, approved or the grants are written or the NIH or somebody's handing over money, Danzig's group, Eco Health Alliance and all them, they can pretty much do whatever they want.
Yeah, the accountability disappears. That's the issue, is getting at this information and getting it out and disseminating it. I mean, being open about these patents for the better of humanity would be ideal. And that's, as you know, that's how I believe that this needs to be. Rather than profit, we need to be bettering for the better of humanity, right? And as soon as those contracts are signed, they outsource, accountability's gone. Freedom of information disappears.
Right.
The information in terms of what it is, but what we are seeing though is people that have worked on them are now coming out and having conversations.
Yeah, that's really
wait. Cool. Wait till we talk about a couple of these technologies that are coming out within the next 8 months.
Okay, and I want people to know there's a part two. Michael actually has a job and a life.
I do actually. People have been kind of dinging me as we're going through this, but I wanted to squeeze this in because this was important to me.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to the audience if I asked too many questions, but honestly, I don't know anything about this, and I'm learning too. So it's just, look, I just want transparency and accountability, and for people to know what is going on. I don't think that all of the that there should be, like you said, you're a big guy, you believe that there should be open source and that, that all people should have access to the information. And again, like we always say, there's a lot of people out there who did this and moved on to other things, but have a lot of knowledge and a lot of ingenuity and all of that. And I want people to have all the information. Maybe they have an idea or a better idea or can watch some of this information. Also, those I want to remind people, those articles that he brought up, screenshot them or something, go read them for yourself. Always look at, as Michael says, look at
Footers. The reports,
right, and where it came from. If you want to dig deeper, Michael and I both do most of our research by looking at not the article itself, but where they got the article's information from, which they have to put in there. They should, but if they don't, that's suspect alone. But you know, this is really important information. CRISPR technology still doesn't, I mean, I get what it is on the surface. I just know that there are a lot of people out there that find that they're not regulating it. And once they ship it, once they, you know, like that, yeah, that, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, the cloning and all of that, that's one thing, but you know, modifying, like you say to me, it's like once you start modifying this stuff, there is no going back. And you know, that we got to remember that.
Listen, you can keep asking and interrupting all you want. That's part of our conversation and our process, right? I have no issue with it. I've said this many, many times. I have no interest nor the time to go talk on a bunch of different podcasts. I only do it with you because your message has been consistent about the truth, right? And so I try to bring out as much as I can, and I keep digging. And what I'd like to do in our next one, and this is my promise to the team, right, is I'm going to put a list of the books that I've been reading.
Okay.
And that way people can kind of, some of these books are expensive. And actually, I got to go back to one of the, our listeners, actually one of the, that $600 book, They actually PDF'd it for me.
Oh my God. That's so nice.
They actually took the time to do it. And I'm going to reach back out to her. She was amazing. We had a few correspondents, but then everything kind of got side rail. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give my list, but I'm also going to have, hey, don't worry about these, because I'm going to open source these books. I purchased them, but some of the information we can take out of them. Okay, the other thing that I'm doing is I have a group that has been going and finding these old books.
I know.
But not just old books, old science books. Some of these books from 1911 to 1937 have disappeared or have been changed. Right. We have the originals.
That's amazing.
We have almost 1,000 books right now.
Oh my God. Wow. That's great.
Well, I'm like really, really proud of that. That is a really good group. But I got to cut because I'm being mean. But God bless you. I love you. And thanks for taking an extra time this week, because I really thought this was important. And I'll keep digging. I'll come up with something really exciting for next week.
I think things are going to start moving a lot faster. So we'll probably see you as we used to during the height of COVID and then the vaccine. We had to do 2 shows a week, and we might kick back to that as things start to unfold. I really do feel like we're at the drip past that, and we're in the kind of the information flood phase. Again, to all the audience, be discerning, you know, along the way. I've been, you know, wrong and deceived, and I moved on and find new information and move to a new level. This is a growth and journey and a learning process for everyone, including me. And I'm so grateful to you, Michael, because the amount of work that you do and your integrity is unimpeachable. And it makes me feel good about our shows. And I know the audience loves you. So thank you so much again.
Keep pushing, and we'll see you again.
See you later.
Love you. You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, Patriot pals. So happy that you're looking into gold and silver and protecting your savings for whatever comes ahead. Beverly Hills Precious Metals is our good friend, and we've been working with them for a long time. So you'll be getting a call from them. We'll also follow up here at the Mel Kay Show, because we want to make sure that you're taken care of and you're protected. If you have any questions, please let us know. Right now is the time. There's so much information coming. There's so much chaos. We just want all the patriots out there to be sure that they are protected, they are moving forward, and that we get through the storm together and safe. Whatever may come, just know we, the people of the United States, will prevail. God wins, and protect yourself. And please get in touch with us if you have any questions. So Beverly Hills Precious Metals, they're the best. They'll be in touch. We'll be in touch. You be in touch with us. Let's do this together. Hi guys, Mel Kay here. I'm very excited to be here with my partners at My Daily Choice, because we are super excited about our CBD line. It keeps growing. I am a big fan of these patriots that are out there. They are producing this in America. They ship it from America. It is totally pure. It is the best I've found. After the last 2 years, guys, of the medical industrial complex and us watching this unfold, we have to realize that natural remedies, things that come from God, are actually the best medicine. What are you guys finding out there from people that respond to you, and from how you're using it and what it's doing for your life?
Well, it's changed our lives in a lot of ways. For her, sleep is one thing, mood, overall general health, just so many things. But the reason that works that way is because we all have an endocannabinoid system, which none of us were taught. No. I wasn't taught it in grad school. And it's there to give us homeostasis or balance in our bodies. It controls the other 10 body systems. Wow. So no wonder none of us felt too good, you know? So we hear all kinds of stories all every day about what it's doing for people.
Yeah, and for me especially, I too, it's great for me for sleep, but also for mood, for kind of staying even keel with energy all day without the ups and downs. And I know I also have had many experiences with different products that you have. The coffee is great. There's a makeup line. I mean, this is an amazing product and I really want everyone to go check it out. You can go to the partners page at the Mel Kay Show and you can see the link to My Daily Choice. And we are very excited to get our health back, to go into this next phase of the awakening and have some great products to use while we're getting on our A game to go back into the summer. So thank you so much, guys. And I will see you next time. And everyone, please go check out the Mel Kay Show at Partners and find the My Daily Choice tab and go check out all the products. There's so many products, you won't even believe it. I really appreciate it. I'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.